You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Randall White in for Beth Ruyak. And if you haven't noticed, the heat is on and the perennial summer wine question is back. How do you decide what bottle to pair with your barbecue? We're joined by Insight friend and wine expert Rick Cushman for this month's Cushman by the Bottle. Rick, great to have you back as always.
Great to be back. It's so warm. I've already got my brisk white wine out.
there we go. Yeah. Let's start with your golden rule of wine drinking, regardless of the season or the occasion.
Yeah, and I actually have two rules, Randall. But that the golden rule is really the key. Because what happens so often this time of year is there's all these stories about, put away your reds, drink your whites, and my first, drink what you want. My golden rule is, if you love it, you're right. If you hate it, you're right. My other rule is wear dark colors,
especially if you're drinking red, right?
But those are the two rules, I think, that'll get you through any wine situation.
There's a little bit of food science to consider as well, though. You've talked before about how changes in the weather can change how your palate perceives the taste of food and wine. This happens on airplanes as well, as we know. Tell us more about that.
Well, so there's sort of two things that go on with, why we sort of change what we drink in summer. One of them is simply the foods, right? You're eating lighter foods, you're just pairing slightly differently. But heat actually does affect us. And it's not like super, super huge, but if you think about the difference between a warm glass of orange juice and a cold glass of orange juice, that cold glass feels crisp and bright, and that warm glass has gone flat a little bit. And, it's because so much of taste is smell, and then so much of it is texture, and temperatures affect those things. They affect how fast molecules move, and so they affect how smells, which are really just, things floating out of our glass, how much we perceive them. So a little bit like with airplanes, when it's dry, you also don't get as much, your smell doesn't work as well. Your olfactory system.
Because the water moisture in the air is carrying, helping carry
some of those things. So it changes a bit. And so with, everybody's had that experience. And certainly you can think about with white wines, with the warm white wine and how it tastes differently. And so, but this actually changes, is what's changing is what your smell changes a little bit too. Having said all that, you can battle it pretty easily, which is just keep your stuff cold.
Yeah. So on your podcast, Bottle Talk with Rick and Paul, if you haven't heard that
yet. A charming podcast, I might add.
Very charming.
Yes.
You get a lot of questions, apparently, along the lines of, should I stop drinking red wine in summer? Is there a pros versus amateurs subtext to that question?
It's more like it's a knucklehead wine writers versus the rest of the world subtext. I always come on here and I have to make at least one swipe at the general wine writing world, because it's this sense, I used to do this too, and you have the seasonal stories, and every Thanksgiving you write about the foods and wines that you should put together, and in summer everybody says, put away those reds and drink your whites, and it is really just like this sort of, this is how we do it, so this is how we do it thing, which gets back to my golden rule, and the answer is, don't sweat it, Now, having said that, pros probably have a bigger repertoire of the reds that they might reach for. Like, Italian reds tend to be lighter and fresher a little bit. And they're, they go well in with foods like that. But really, the reason why I get those questions is because so often that advice they're getting from the wine world, it runs counter to what they want to do, which is just drink the wine they want. And that's what they should do, which is what anybody do. Drink the wine you like.
I had a teacher at Cal Poly. I took a wines and fermented foods class there. And the very first thing he said on day one was, you're going to ask me whether a wine is good or not. And yeah, I'm going to tell you, if you drink it and you like it, it's good.
Yeah.
That's as simple as that.
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly the right answer.
And of course, a lot of wine tasting goes on this time of year. What about transporting the bottles that you end up buying at the winery?
So this is something that people tend to forget a lot about. And really, actually, this is when you really do need to pay attention to your wine. And wine will literally cook. It will push the cork out at like 80 degrees. So that, your dog is fine in the car at 80 degrees. Your wine isn't.
Although be very careful with pets in the car.
I'm not saying leave your pet in the car. And if you do, though, at least leave him a bowl of wine so that,
No, don't do that either. No.
Don't take advice.
We're going to need a huge disclaimer at the end of this segment.
The disclaimer is, don't listen to Rick. But one of the things I always tell folks, and it could be even just shopping, you know, is if you go, you know, with groceries, I mean, it's the same thing too, but wine will spoil. And so if you go wine tasting or do anything like that, is I just bring a cooler, even just a styrofoam. If you're on the road and you forget, pull over to some drugstore and buy one of those, you know, $4 styrofoam coolers. And that'll, you know, it matters so much. And if you are going wine tasting, you know, you're going to park in between places. Even if you're parking in a tree, it may still get too warm in the car. Right. So that's the one thing. And even driving home sometimes, you throw it in the trunk, make sure.
And you forget it's insulated. In the trunk, and then right. It sits in the car for a week. Yep. Yeah.
And you'd be surprised. And one of the things you can tell is if when you pull a cork, and if you've seen like the wine has sort of climbed the side of the cork, that generally means it got warm. And if it's gone to the top, it generally means it cooked, and it's often going to not be that good or just totally bad.
You can cook with it.
No, actually, no. What you do with it is that's when you give it to the dog.
Oh.
No, the dog deserves to drink better than that. Now, as often you'll have spoiled wine.
Right. Water for the dog.
Yes, water for the dog.
In cool cars.
Beer for the cat.
Windows down. Never leave them alone.
That's right.
We're speaking with wine expert Rick Cushman in this month's Cushman by the Bottle. Let's turn our attention to what's called the fastest growing wine category in America and the world, apparently. Rosé?
Yeah, and that's the perfect wine for this time of year. I mean, I love rosé, and so if there's any advice, if you haven't tried it, is try it, you know, and if you like it, this is a great time. Rosé is great all year long, but it is actually really starting to have a major impact on the market. And one of the things is because it resonates. It had, since about 2015, I think, is when it really started to bloom. And at one point it was getting like, you know, 45% increase over the year before, but that was because the category was small, as they say. But it's still the single fastest growing category, as if you're talking about wine. Right behind it, by the way, is sparkling.
And blush is another term for it. Same
thing. Yeah, anything in that general realm of pink, which would include white Zin actually, but yeah.
And it's right. It's not. There aren't white grapes, red grapes, and then blush grapes. It's red grapes, but the skins are removed right away.
Yes. So here's how this happens. So and it's actually sort of two ways. One of them is the word is saigner, as the French call it. It means to bleed. And so let's say you're making a big Zinfandel and you want it to be even bigger. What you would do is you would bleed some of the juice off before fermentation or during fermentation. So now there's less juice, more skins, because all that flavor is coming from the skins.
Concentrated.
And so it's more concentrated. Right. But what's left is a pink wine. That's rosé. The other way to do it is you do this on purpose, and which is fundamentally the same thing, is that you just give it limited skin contact and take the whole batch out away from the skin. So what it is essentially that's just a little bit of contact. It's red wine with a little bit of contact with its red skins. There are rare places, and in the old days, I mean, we're talking centuries ago, they would blend. But that the only way, really, 99.9% of the rosés you get now, it just had some skin contact and then no more.
Right. And those, like you mentioned, White Zinfandel and some of the other blushes, I think a lot of people have in their mind that they're overly sweet, but rosés can run the gamut, right?
Absolutely. From bone dry to sugar pot sweet. And they are, we sort of got used to it. It's very true of the sort of the history of American wine. Anytime any new wine got introduced to us over the years, it started off sweet. And partly I think that is, it's also people think of that way when they think about white Zin, because white Zin started as a sort of sweet wine, but there are plenty of really dry rosés. The hard part, if you're a consumer, is there's often no cues that you can figure out. The color doesn't necessarily tell you. That could just be about how much skin contact they had or what the grape was, and it often doesn't say on the bottle. And so you really almost have to just guess or ask somebody. But you can get, and France in particular is huge on really dry, almost earthy like rosés.
In the couple of minutes we have left here, let's uncork, as we could say, the practical tips for all of us who are still wondering which wines to pair with typical summer dishes. And we'll do this lightning round style, if that's cool with you.
But before we do that, let's have our caveat that once again, if you know, it gets back to that first golden rule, which is if you get wine you like and food you like, that's your first that's your first attempt.
So golden rule aside, these would be your suggestions, right? This is how you
these
would
are,
do it?
These are my next suggestions, right. Yes.
So I'm going to throw a food at you, not literally, but, you know, verbally.
Don't worry.
And then you tell us what kind of wine to look for. And we'll start with anything with barbecue sauce.
Oh, probably a Zin, you know, big reds. Bigger reds, spicier reds, Zin, Syrah, and any kind of wine that's got a little bit of sweetness to it.
All right. Summer salads with citrus.
Well, yeah, citrus is tough. So some of those crisper whites, you know, that's where you go with, you know, Albarino is a real popular one, and Sauvignon Blanc is getting really popular now.
And locally, the Albarino.
Yeah, yeah. Lots down Lodi's. They did a lot of good ones down there. And sparkling wine. Sparkling wine is almost the answer to everything, but sparkling wine goes really well with that sort of thing, too.
I would agree. Burgers and steaks?
Well, you know, burgers, think about burger. Actually, the first best thing with burger, I'd go beer. But, you know, or a big red, because there's so many different flavors of the burger. There's spice, there's sweet, there's that richness. And so it's almost any kind of bigger red that you like, or something with bubbles to sort of cut through all that stuff.
When you said beer, IPA or like a lager, lager?
I'm not an IPA guy, so I'd be going in the lager pilsner area. Yeah.
Okay. Grilled chicken and fish.
Yeah, well, now, depending, of course, now that's the sauce. I mean, sauce is always the issue, right? But I think like, you know, sort of medium white. So the Chardonnay is terrific with especially that grill, get that char going on, and then it picks up maybe a little bit of the oak and the chard. Chardonnay is a great pairing with so many summer foods, including that burger, by the way.
And then quickly, this is what you'd find at our house, tacos or anything spicy.
Well, once again, bubbles and spice are one of the really great combinations. Sparkling wine is a great combination for that sort of thing. And then those lighter, brighter whites, once again. So, you know, things like an Albarino or Vino Verde, which is a Spanish wine, which I really like. It's really fresh.
All right.
That handles the spice perfectly.
Rick, thank you so much. Rick Cushman. This month's Cushman by the Bottle. And as always, do not leave your dog in a hot car.
No.
And wear sunscreen.
And probably don't take advice from Rick.
Thanks for being on Insight, Rick. Appreciate it. I'm Randall White in for Beth Ruyak today. Insight produced by Kate Gonzalez and Cody Drabble. Our digital team, Chris Hagan, Casey Gardner, and Emily Zentner. Technical director, Mark Jones. Today's engineer, Antonio Munez. Our senior producer, Helen Barrington. Executive producer, Joe Barr. And we are back with another live show tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. Try and try, try and try. You'll succeed at last.